God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So I'm on my third and final day of reading Psalm 119. It is a 176-verse psalm, by far the longest psalm in the Bible, and in fact, longer than any chapter in the Bible. And all but a few verses are talking about God's Word, God's law, God's commandments, God's statutes, God's truth. It's all the same thing. What comes from the mind and mouth, if you will, of God? And so we've talked about the fact that there's aspiration, there is goals, there are goals, and there are habits that make reading the Word of God something that's going to happen. You have to have an aspiration. I want to have joy. I want to have reviving in life that comes from the Word of God. So that's kind of my aspiration. As far as my goal, it may be to read through the Bible in a year, but really my goal is to understand the Bible every day. And finally, what about the habits that undergird that goal? What habits make reading the Bible on a regular basis and understanding the Bible actually happen? Psalm 119, verse 142 says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." There are a couple verses that give the similar ideas. 151 says, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." Verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." And so that kind of encapsulates everything. God's word is true, and God's word is true from the beginning, which is to say that God's word is objective and God's word is eternal. Whenever we talk about my truth, your truth, we're not really talking about truth. There are laws of nature. Take the law of gravity. It's not my gravity or your gravity. I could say, well, you know, stepping off the front porch without a step, gravity, that may be your gravity, but when I step off the porch or I step off a balcony, I float into the air. Well, that would be ridiculous on the face of it. And so I would say that the same Jehovah, the same God that created the law of gravity, created the laws of life and of nature. And so God's word is objective. It's not up to me. It's something that is fixed. And God's word is eternal. So I may live 100 years later than someone else, but we live under the same God who is everlasting. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Thy word is true from the beginning. So says Psalm 119. So in short, truth is God's to make, and it is yours to understand. So the question is, how do you make a habit of it? How do you make a diet of the Word of God? You know, if someone is talking about a diet, they're usually talking about some system that is copyrighted. But really, the purest sense, the best sense of the word diet is just a way of life. The way to be healthy, the way to lose or keep weight and then keep it however it is to maintain a way of life, a way of eating and a way of life. Likewise, the Word of God is something that should saturate the life of someone that wants to know what God's thoughts are. So here are things, not in any strict particular order, but just five things that have been a help to me and perhaps will be a help to you as far as making the Word of God a habit in your life. First of all, is just time and place. You have to have a time, the same time every day. You have to have a place, the same place every day. That makes it easy. And if you can attach the habit of reading the Word of God to something else you know you're going to do, it does help. When I was 14, I began doing push-ups every night. I did them for years. In fact, I still do them. not because, you know, after time, it wasn't because I wanted to become strong or healthy. It was just a habit. And come feast or famine, I was going to do them. I've done them in my travel trailer. I've done them in closets. I've done them a variety of places. I've done them because I could not not do them. And I generally did them right before bed. That may not be the best time physically, but that it was a habit. And so all I'm saying is a time and a place. I feel strongly that the morning is probably the best time. However, if you're working third shift, morning is not a good time to read your Bible. So The best time is, and the best place are those, is the time and place that will foster a open mind and open heart. And I begin every day reading the Bible by saying, "Dear God, help me to see what you want me to see." Secondly, I'd say, don't bite off more than you can chew. As I said recently, read less, think more. If you don't comprehend, apply what you're reading, then really your reading is not, it's not beneficial. So don't bite off more than you can chew. Better a verse a day than having some New Year's resolution to read three chapters every day and then fall off the wagon in a week. So don't bite off more than you can chew. Number three, I would just say have a plan. I read, I don't know if chronologically is the right words, sequentially maybe, Genesis, Exodus, all the way through Revelation. I don't know when I'm going to be done reading the Bible, and that's not really of concern to me. I just know where I'm going to read tomorrow. It's always where the bookmark is. And so all the brain power that I have, which is not much, is reserved for just understanding the Bible. It's not, where am I going to read today? Where did I read yesterday? The bookmark does that for me. I don't have to think about that. People do word studies, and that's fine. But generally for me, just sequentially, Genesis through Revelation. Number four, I would just say, be curious. Curiosity is invaluable for everything you read. Be curious. Don't just take things and ignore them. You know, there are strange things in the Bible. It was written long ago and far away. These were not Americans that God used to write His Word. And so there are so many things that may seem strange to us, but make perfect sense if you know the context. So be curious. God is up to your questions. He's up to the questions of any honest, humble heart. Now, there are some things I don't understand, and God has not ever shown them to me. I can trust God for that too, but I need to be curious and not be fearful of questions that I may have. There are times where you see things, you think, wait a minute, I thought the Bible said something else somewhere else. So study that out. God is up to your questions. Number five, I would just say context is important. Get a good study Bible. Read with a devotional commentary. Get some helps. Get a Bible with print large enough for you to read that's not a ponderous thing for you to read. And get the context. Why was this book written? When was it written? Is it poetry? Is it history? Is it primarily doctrinal, you know, theological in that sense? Context makes it much easier to understand what I'm reading. Context meaning just the words around the words you're reading. Why was it written? When was it written? Where was it written? Etc. God's Word is eternally settled in heaven, but it's been given us on earth at a point in time. Finally, I would just say underline, and I could take 30 minutes to talk about the importance of this. People ought to take their Bible reverently and not mark it up without thought. But to me, the Bible is vast. It's like looking at Grand Canyon or the ocean. It is vast. It is, you have no idea what you're even looking at. If I look at the part of the Bible I've read up till now in the Bible I'm currently, copy of the Bible I'm currently reading, I can see what I've underlined, and it helps make sense of that portion of the Bible. If I go past what I've read today, Psalm 119, it's like a blank ocean. There are thousands of words, and I have no idea the meaning of them. So underlining simply helps me to see the relationship between words, between passages, between other parts of the Bible. It gives some, it narrows the scope of my focus to something I can understand, so that I could open up my Bible almost at random to what I read a month ago, and in shorter time than would otherwise be the case, understand generally what God is communicating because of the way I've underlined. So I have a will system. You'd have a different system, of course. But underlining reverently does help me to understand what I'm reading and helps me understand it later. All this is put in, for me, a journal. And that's what helps me remember what it is I've learned. Why waste the things that you learn? I think it's good to keep them in memory. And so, God's truth, God's Word. God's Word, God's truth is truth is God's to make, but is yours to understand. So why not make it a habit this week? Why not make it a goal this year? And why not see those aspirations that are important come to fruition in your life.